Now, you'll notice our subject this morning is spiritual ignorance. Spiritual ignorance. You know, some nice people like the word agnostic. They're not unwilling to be called agnostics. Now, the word gnostic comes from the Greek word meaning no. And agnostic means know not or without knowledge. Some of them don't want to be called even agnostics. They want you to leave them alone. But the great majority of them, in fact, all of them, don't want to be called by the Latin name. That's ignoramus. You know, they don't like that word. But there's many a spiritual ignoramus in the churches today. Now, there are two classes. Those that are babes in Christ, who know very little, and those who are unsaved church members, and God says concerning them, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he discern them, because they're spiritually discerned. It's a strange thing that we could name six of the most brilliant men that have lived in America. Very brilliant men. My, they had degrees conferred upon them, but they didn't know the Lord. They didn't know anything spiritual. The Lord Jesus Christ bowed and gave thanks to his Father one day, and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Thou hast revealed them unto babes. For so it seemeth good in thy sight. That's the reason why the Lord said he has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. My, the things that the world by wisdom, the world knows. Why, did you read that statement yesterday? If this goes through the development, within 12 months they'll have an airplane that will go from here to Korea in 3 hours. 2,600 miles an hour. And when you read of the marvelous achievements and the inventions and discoveries, why, they use adjectives. They talk about marvelous, incredible, fabulous. My, those are the adjectives today, and the world by wisdom. For instance, we look up at these electric lights. How we thank God for Thomas Edison. But Thomas Edison was an agnostic. He didn't believe in a personal God, to say nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he knew many things, very brilliant. When James G. Blaine was on his deathbed, a Christian neighbor went to him and said, you're a very brilliant man. You've achieved much. I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. He said, I don't want you to talk to me about the Lord. I do not believe that the Bible is God's word. And he did not believe anything that would save the soul. He was a very brilliant man. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God hath chosen the weak and the foolish things of the world to confound the mighty and the wise. That's God's way of doing things. The lame take the prey, God says in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And after he's told that, the people there told him, the religious people, if you have the truth, we don't want to know it. And that's the apathetic indifference today and the open rebellion. People do not want to hear the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice in the 11th chapter of Matthew what the Lord says. In the 25th verse, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now notice, no man knoweth the Son except the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now think of that. No natural man knows God. My, there are millions of people today talking about God. They do not know God. They mention God. Now, it's one thing for the archaeologist or the geologist or the astronomer to search the earth and the heavens and find out that there is a God. And you can acknowledge that there is a God, a supreme being, and say, I believe in God, and remember what God says. He says the demons believe in God and they tremble. This is life eternal, said the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And I'll guarantee you on the authority of God's word and by human experience that no person on this earth knows God who has not reached God through Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. The knowledge of God is in the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and we preach Christ crucified. Under the wisdom of this world, it is foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he discern them, because they're discerned only by the Holy Spirit. As Paul said in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, no man can say that Jesus is divine except by the Holy Spirit. When Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. You didn't learn this in high school. You didn't learn this in college. You learned this by a revelation in my word. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You remember in the 4th chapter of Luke, the 34th verse, and in Mark 1:24, there was a demon-possessed man, and the Lord Jesus Christ cast out that demon. And the Lord, being God in human form, could understand the speech of that demon. And you know what that demon said to the Lord Jesus? There were several demons, and they said, we know who thou art, thou Holy One of God, the Son of God. Why have you come forth to trouble us before our time? Now the time is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is not only going to trouble the demons and the fallen angels, but he's going to trouble all the unbelievers. We read in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his holy angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Those who are spiritually ignorant. And if they do not know God, he's going to take vengeance upon them, and he's going to destroy them with everlasting destruction. The demons are going to be judged, and the fallen angels are in Tartarus now. They're reserved in chains of darkness to be judged in the last day. And even as Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed with fire and brimstone, he said this is a sample of what he's going to do to everyone who does not know God and who does not believe the gospel of salvation. I want to tell you, God's trying to shake up this world. He's trying to make them come to their senses. As I've said, he has the grace, his grace in front of us and the atomic bomb behind us. And he's trying to make us think that we have here only a corruptible inheritance and we'll all be gone soon. And we're going somewhere from here and we're not going into oblivion. We're not going into an unconscious state. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And you'll never be there with the redeemed of the Lord until you know God and know the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now the average person in Chicago and thousands of religious leaders, no matter whether you call them priests or rabbis or preachers, there are thousands of them who do not know as much as those demons. There are millions of people today in the churches who do not know what that demon said. We know who thou art, thou Holy One of God, the Son of God. Why hast thou come to trouble us before our time? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And if you'll come by faith to Calvary this morning, acknowledge yourself to be the ungodly, hell-deserving sinner for whom Christ died, God will save you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the very moment he saves you, he seals you with the infallible Holy Spirit, who will convict you of the fact that your great need was Christ, and then he will reveal the truth of God from his word. You remember what we read in John 17:25, the prayer of the Son. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. The world hath not known thee. And after 1900 years of Christianity, the world does not know God any more than the world knew him when Christ was here. The Christians know him, but they are not a part of the world. The Lord said to the Christians, ye are not of the world. Why? We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the lap of the devil. And Christ said that Satan is the strong man, and no man can be delivered from the devil, the strong man, unless the Son of God binds him and delivers him. People do not like to be called the son of Satan. But Jesus Christ said, if you're not the Son of God through faith in me, you are the child of the devil. And we're by nature the children of wrath. And except a man be born from above, he cannot become a child of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now the Lord was very gracious. He didn't tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when he prayed on the cross. But he came to die for sinners. And when he died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did that as a manifestation of his mercy and grace. He had already told them. He said to those people who crucified him, if I had not come and taught you, you would have had a cloak for your sin. But not now. But if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sin. But just to think of it, the greatest crime that was ever committed in this world was the murder of Jesus Christ. If you would put in one side of the scale, the balance, the murder of Jesus Christ, and put all the other sins committed by 20 billion people since Adam left the Garden of Eden, This one sin would outweigh all the sins that have ever been committed, because they knew not they crucified the Lord of glory. I want you to think seriously, my dear friend. The human race has put Almighty God to death. No wonder we have wars and rumors of war. No wonder we lost 11 million people in the two world wars. No wonder war is threatening today all over. And the most terrible wars that ever took place on this earth are just ahead of us, according to God's word. And when they diplomats get together and cry, peace, peace, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman in travail, and they shall not escape. Do you think that you can get away with the murder of Jesus Christ and get along? You may be making a few dollars and having good health for a while. But it's still true that man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's still true that man wasteth away, yea, man dieth, and man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? It's still true that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. It's still true that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, and he hath given us assurance in that he hath raised him from the dead, and while we're in this auditorium, the man that died on that cross, who showed himself alive after his death by many infallible proofs, he's a glorified man at God's right hand, and he's sitting there waiting till all enemies be made his footstool. And remember, dealings with the Lord Jesus are inescapable. If you do not meet the Lord Jesus Christ here as a Savior, you'll have to meet him as a judge. And as a Savior, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. As a judge, he'll say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Through his death and resurrection, he obtained the keys of death and Hades. Death and Hades are going to be cast into the lake of fire, whosoever name was not written in the book of life. If your name is not up to this present time written in the book of life, it can be right now. Last Sunday we had three men in here. My oldest son who's here was born in a little town where I was auditor for a lumber company where the train didn't even stop. He's a little country boy, but he's grown up in Chicago now. It's been rubbed off. And this man, I worked for the same company, and he was born right where my son was born. And he's visited many towns, the little town right 12 miles below there where I was saved. I was an ungodly, immoral, lost, condemned, hell-deserving sinner. And I want to tell you, my dear friends, I was saved in less than 5 minutes. I learned that great truth that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I've often said to you that I could go down there and draw with a crayon a circle where one night at midnight I passed out of death into life. I told him that. He says, you can't say that anymore. They've just torn that building down. But I could go to the spot. And it may be the spot for you right here today. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, and by Jesus Christ all who believe are justified from all things. There's nothing that gives God greater delight than to save you from your sin. And he wants to save you. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. God will have all men to be saved. But you can't dictate the terms. You can't say, God, you're the Savior, but you'll have to save me on my terms. I thought. You remember what that man, that Naaman was a mighty man of valor? And he said, go dip in the river Jordan 3 times. And he said, I thought. And when he quit thinking, and when God said, come now, let's reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, then the servant there said, now, if he told you some great thing to do, you would have delighted. He's told you a very simple thing to do, and you do that. And he did that, and he was cleansed of his leprosy. God has told you a very simple thing to do. Quit trying to work out your own salvation. Quit trying to save yourself. Come by simple faith to Calvary and take God at his word, and God, for Christ's sake, will right now forgive you every sin you've ever committed, and you'll stand in the presence of God as though you'd never had one evil thought. That's the marvelous thing about the grace of God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. God isn't an Indian giver. He doesn't give you eternal life and then take it away. He doesn't save you on the installment plan. You know that Zacchaeus was up in the tree there, sycamore tree. And you know that little fellow was saved somewhere between the limb and the ground when he fell down. When he got into his house, he was a saved man. And God can save you just like that. Mel Trotter and Hammond Tree were down in Tennessee preaching. They were back in the hill country where Hammond Tree was raised. And after Mel Trotter was a wonderful grace preacher, after he preached it, a fella came up to him and says, "I don't agree with you." He says, "You can't get religion that quick." He said, "Did I say anything about getting religion?" He said, "It took me a long time to get religion." Well, he said, "Thank God you can get rid of it in a minute if you want to." Religion will never take you to heaven. Satan is the most religious creature in the universe of God. He transforms himself into an angel of light. And he's worshipped by millions and billions of people. He wants to be worshipped. Now, when you get rid of your religion and get rid of all your thinking against God and just take your place, he said, except you become converted as a little child. Now, the moment we're saved, we're newborn babes. And 9 out of 10 Christians remain babes. Now, I've said this over and over again. Two statements I've made, you can check up on it. When it comes to Bible study, with 95% of the people who are saved, sanctified common sense is an unknown quantity. With 80% of them, they do not make any earnest, diligent attempt to learn the Bible. 9 out of 10 Christians ought to hang their heads in shame. That you read everything that comes along, you're occupied with everything, and you ought to be occupied with this book every day and never miss a day. As the Old Testament prophet said, "Thy word is more necessary than my daily food. Thy word was found of me, and I did eat it, and I found it the joy and the rejoicing of my soul." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. As the result of the lack of Bible study and the tricks of Satan, who beguiles and bewitches and bewilders and blinds, the great majority of Christians are like little children tossed to and fro. The church today is suffering with a malady. It's spiritual infantile paralysis. If you look up the word, you'll see that exactly explains what's wrong with the church today. Think of this man, educated man, $200 offered to him. Who was the father of Methuselah? And he said Abraham, who was born 2,000 or 1,200 years later. Think of it. 97 people out of 100 who are saved do not know who lived first, Abraham or Moses. And the relation of Abraham to Moses is the key to the Bible for this age in which we live. And we offer it here with a chart every Wednesday night, and 2/3 of our own members will not even come to the Bible class. Learn the Bible. They prefer to go on in their ignorance. God knows why, I don't. Well, that's the condition. The other day, when we had the funeral services, I spoke on 1 Thessalonians 4, and I want you to notice there, if you will, for a moment, 1 Thessalonians 4, it is the message that ought to be given every week by God's servants today, because this is the only hope. This is the only way out. Notice what he said. In the 13th verse of the 4th chapter, I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. I was reading one of Dr. Ironside's books the other day, and he said, why did the Lord say that? Because he knew 9 out of 10 of them were going to be ignorant. It's been in the Bible, in your Bible, all these years, all your life. I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Have you lost a little baby? Have you lost a loving mother, a father? Have you lost a husband or a wife? All right, are you a Christian? Did they die in the faith? Notice what he said. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if you don't, you're not saved. That's the first thing you have to believe to be a Christian. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not speculation. This is not theology that has been put into some doctrinal statements and creed of a denomination. This is the word of God. Now, did a 10-year-old child, as I think it was Dr. Pettingill, who said anyone who is not a premillenarian looking for the Lord has been tampered with. Now notice what he said. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Now that means that many Christians are going to have the experience that Enoch had, as we will say to show you tonight. Some Christians, and many of them, are going to be alive, and they won't be going down to make some kind of dicker with the undertaker. They won't have to buy any lot. No, they're not going to die. They're going to remain. And what's going to happen? If we remain under the coming of the Lord, we shall not go before, that's the word prevent, we shall not go before them which have died. These are Christians. The Lord himself, who is the Lord? Well, the Lord Jesus. What's he going to do? He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I don't understand how it's going to be done. I was down in San Antonio in the National Cemetery there when my uncle had been a soldier in the Civil War, was buried, and the day I was out there, they were taking 60 graves, all the bones that had been there for 40 and 50 years, and they put all of those bones in one grave there so they could have new ground. And I stood there and I said, my, what a job the Lord has. I'm glad it isn't mine to untangle all those bones and get out of the bones a body of the saints. My, I couldn't do that, could you? And then when my cousin died, he was a beautiful young Christian, but he had a disease that wasted his body, and he got so disgusted. He asked his mother and father if they'd cremate him. They cremated him in Denver, and they took his ashes and blew him up in the air. Now, the corruptible is going to put on incorruption. The dead are going to be raised from the dead. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Life is going to be swallowed up in mortality. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, every member of the body of Christ is going to receive a glorified body. You say, how can it be? Well, can you tell me how the same Lord Jesus took a little clay in his hands one day, and he molded it, and he breathed into it, and Adam became a living soul? Just a little clay. Well, the same Lord Jesus that did that is coming again. He's the one that's going to do it. And we're confident of this very thing, that he that began the good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now let me give you the one other one. in the 11th chapter of Romans, the most important verse in all the Bible if you want to understand God's book today. You have the same expression. Listen, Romans 11, 25 and 26. If there is anything in the English language that's stated in simple terms. Now notice what it said. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. He's talking to Christians now. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. Well, as I was reading this, I would say that lest you be ignorant in your own conceit. But worldly wisdom produces spiritual ignorance. I told you what Campbell Morgan said here the last time he was here. He said, Jesus Christ has never had a fair chance with the public. For 1,400 years, it was the mysticism of medievalism. They had to come to the priest to get the Mass, and the Mass to get Mary, and the Mary to get Christ, and they never got him. And they don't understand. Their mystic Christ today is not the mystic Christ of the Bible. Now he said the reaction has come in the rationalism of modernism. And he was referring at that time to the man who wrote the book, The Man That Nobody Knows. And he said, I just read it twice and God knows he's the man that nobody wants to know. But this man was, Bruce Barton was trying to explain Jesus Christ within the realm of natural science and by rationalism. And therefore he was, as Shakespeare said, his Jesus was no more like the Jesus of the Bible than Ida Hercules. There wasn't anything similar at all because he tried to reason him out. And people today, because they're so brilliant and well-educated and talking about the progressive age in which we live, they try to reason these things out. You can't reason them out any more than they could way back there. The Jews tried to reason it out, and they tried to establish their own righteousness, and they did not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God, which is by faith. You just come by faith. You know where you are. You know that you're an ungodly sinner. You know that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that a man died on that cross between the thieves. You've lived with 1,900 years of Christianity behind you. And you know there's a difference between the people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do not. All right, now notice what he said. Don't be wise in your own conceit. Here's what he said. A blindness in part is happened to Israel. I remember with the 20 synagogues on the north and the northwest side, go talk to any one of those rabbis and they're educated. They do not know the first thing about a spiritual truth. Not a thing. They can talk about Moses and religion and forms and ceremonies. As Christ said, they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They don't know the first thing. Why? Because they've been blinded. And because of their blindness, God gave the Gentiles the opportunity to take the gospel of grace. I told you about the Jew doctor and his wife, the nurse, came in after listening for a week over WIT. I was preaching on the 11th of Romans. They came in and said, we want you to know that we're accepting Christ as our Messiah and Savior. And we'd like to know in the name of the Lord why the preachers don't explain the 11th chapter of Romans to tell us why God put the Jews aside, why the Jews are blinded, and what he's doing with the Gentile, and then what he's going to do afterwards. Notice the 26th verse. Then, after God gets through with the church, Israel shall be saved, as God said in the prophet. I'm going to put my hand the second time to the Jew. Do you know that 18 Gentile nations have tried to exterminate the Jew? And God says, I will always preserve a remnant. Why is it that the man from England told us? He says, you notice this. A Jew man who's a blonde and looks something like a Gentile will marry a blonde woman. He said the next generation will come back with black hair and their Jewish nose. How? Because God has marked them. They're here for a purpose. This emperor in Germany that asked his chaplain, give me, he says, one page or one message to convince me that the Bible is God's word and Jesus Christ is God's son. He said, I don't need a page. He said, I don't need a paragraph. I don't need a sentence. All I need is one word, Jew. And if people had any sense, would study the Jew. It would make you understand that the Bible is God's word and Jesus Christ is God's son. The miraculous preservation of the Jew. But he's blinded. And that blindness is going to be taken away. And the Jew is going to be saved after the church goes home to glory. And the day of grace is going to end very suddenly. Behold, I show you a mystery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen like the twinkling of an eye. That'll be your last opportunity to receive the gospel, the grace of God. And it may be before you get home today. Nobody knows when it'll be. Hasn't God been good to spare your life and leave you here? And give you another opportunity to be saved?